This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Public housing evictions are on the rise in Asheville, and that has some people worried. The jump in evictions coincides with a massive overhaul of the City Housing Authority's funding and management. Reporter David Forbes has been writing about this for the City of Asheville, about this story for the Carolina Public Press and the Asheville Blade. And David Forbes joins us now. Hello, David.
Hello.
Tell us about this. There's been an upswing in evictions from public housing. How sharp and over what period of time?
Specifically, over the last 2 years that the Housing Authority has numbers for, there's been a fairly sharp rise, and this rise has been due to one very specific category, lease violations. And it nearly doubled from that category from 83 evictions to then to 135 and then to 100 this past year.
Wow. Over what period? So this is over the last 3 years. It went from...
Over the last 3 years, there's been a sharp spike.
Lease violations. So what does that mean? What are the kinds of things you can do to be evicted for that reason?
Lease violations are... There's a number of reasons one can be evicted from public housing. And some of the very kind of clear-cut reasons, criminal conviction, failure to pay rent... those have all stayed pretty steady over time. Lease violations are a much larger category. They can include a failure to fulfill community service hours. They can include problems with housekeeping. Generally, there are a number of things that some activists, advocates, and residents say are much more subjective than some of the other criteria.
Yeah, and therein lies some of the fear, because the category which is the most subjective is the one that has seen the greatest rise. So tell us about the fears. What do people think is going on?
So specifically, this has been taking place while a big overhaul in management and financing has been happening. And the fears from people are that, you know, to see this rise go along with housing kind of pushing this overhaul are that essentially the projects are being cleared out to make way for more public-private partnership development and to get rid of, you know, residents who might be viewed as being dissenters or being problematic. That's the fear.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you there, and forgive me for interrupting, but I want to hear a little bit more then about this overhaul. What is changing in the management of public housing in the Asheville area?
So Asheville's Public Housing Authority, like many across the country, has faced very severe cuts, 20% about 2-3 years ago. And due to that, they're opting for a program called RAD, Rental Assistance Demonstration. And this allows Housing Authority to shift funding streams for some of its projects from traditional public housing funding, which has a lot of restrictions on them and have faced a number of fairly severe cuts, to Section 8 funding, and which is traditionally used for vouchers. And most housing authorities have done this for maybe 20-30% of their projects. Asheville's going pretty much for every unit that the authority owns and manages. And this funding has less restrictions, some would even call them protections, on how it's used. So it's much more open to public-private partnerships than before.
And that would be in the redevelopment, because Section 8 itself, does this change the rules? That's a pretty restrictive program in terms of, you know, who can be included and under what terms you can stay and you can rent, that sort of thing.
Indeed. Well, this is coming from Section 8 funds, these are being used to fund traditional housing projects. Mm. These aren't vouchers the way that Section 8 is normally thought of. And this is kind of a big change in federal law. And while it is still restrictive, it still has less restrictions on it than traditional public housing funds do. And as a matter of fact, the city and the Housing Authority, which are two separate entities, are considering redevelopments of Asheville's oldest project as we speak.
So this is very interesting. I mean, this is the kind of thing that gets a little bit geeky, but it's important to understand, right? Because, first of all, there are cuts in assistance to public housing. One way to manage that would be to take this reshaped Section 8, which was very restrictive about getting money to people who needed housing help, and saying, well, if you agree to take that money out of Section 8 where all the restrictions are and spend it this way where there are fewer restrictions, that might make up for the funding that we cut. That's sort of what's going on here in some ways.
That's the thinking. The thinking is that Section 8 funding has been far more stable, and it will allow the Housing Authority to, you know, stop hemorrhaging funds for one, but also potentially to improve some of these very old housing projects in Asheville.
All right. So then how would the restrictions change the way people live? Does this mean then in these partnerships that different kinds of housing, perhaps more expensive housing, could be built, more lucrative housing could be built. I mean, is that the fear here?
Indeed, that is one of the fears. And to note, this comes in the context of a city that was hit really hard by redlining, by urban renewal. There are a lot of people who've seen programs that were supposed to, you know, make things better that have pushed, you know, in some cases thousands of people out. So there's kind of a history of skepticism and fear. These public-private partnerships, the one they're already talking about for Lee Walker Heights, Asheville's oldest project, would be mixed use. While all the existing public housing residents supposedly would be able to return there or would still have their units, it would also allow the construction of units that were at a higher rate, what the city calls affordable housing, or even at market rate.
And one of the values when we talk about mixed use, of course, there's a theory here, too, that you don't want to just put all the people with the lowest income and lowest rents in the same places. You'd like to mix that to get better integration, both economically and in some cases racially. And so that's part of the thinking of promoting and incentivizing mixed use projects. Am I right about that?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. And I don't think there's anyone who would, you know, deny that mixed income is kind of a good goal to get to. The fear is, with these rising evictions, what happens to the residents already there? Are they going? Is this kind of a way to displace them?
And what about the rules? You talk about eviction. Now, there are rules about being able to appeal eviction. Are people talking about that? And are there appeals underway?
Yes. People can appeal the eviction either through the housing authority or through the court system as well. And the housing authority files about 80 evictions a month. Most of those don't end up in becoming the people end up getting kicked out based on those. You know, they pay up what they owe or the issue's resolved. However, there are cases where people have proceeded to eviction based on, say, community service hours. And a lot of many residents and kind of advocates of the residents' needs are saying that the community service program in particular isn't often adequately explained. People can be hit with, you know, owing over 100 hours all of a sudden. And for people in, you know, with limited transportation, limited resources, that can be a lot to make up. So all of a sudden, there's the potential of them being on the street.
We are talking about a rise in public housing evictions in Asheville on the State of Things. Reporter David Forbes is with me. And part of the concern, too, is that the appeal procedure is being streamlined under this new management system. So it's not as easy to appeal, or perhaps it's easier to get an eviction. Am I right about that?
It is being streamlined. According to the Housing Authority, they assert that, you know, these are more than someone would get in private housing, that they have a process, it more or less works, and it will continue to work. At the same time, housing authority representatives have no explanation for the rise in evictions that's happened, and that's led to a lot of concerns among residents.
What about action? Are people organizing? What's happening around this concern?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this is as the change to RAD has been proceeding, there's a coalition of residents, of nonprofits, of some local activists. They're getting together as the Public Housing Advocacy Coalition, and they've been calling for a tenant's bill of rights. They've been calling for restructuring potentially the way public housing is done to allow for possibly cooperative ownership to assure that residents won't be displaced. And that's kind of – and they've also been criticizing what they say is a lack of transparency and explanation of the way that these changes have been handled.
And tell us about the role of the city of Asheville in all of this and whether or not they've addressed the some of these concerns.
So the city of Asheville, especially the mayor, Esther Mannheimer, has made the redevelopment of public housing a major priority. They say these are pockets of poverty. They further the lingering segregation in the city and that they need to be redeveloped. So they're framing themselves a partner in this. To make it clear, the Housing Authority and the city are two very separate entities. The Housing Authority is an independent agency under the federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, and the city is a local government. However, there is some overlap. The city does cooperate in a lot of affordable housing developments, deals a lot of nonprofit and other agency partners, and the mayor actually appoints the governing board of the Housing Authority.
All right. And we talk about a public-private partnership. Duke Energy is one of the partners in at least one of these new developments or the projected new developments?
Yes. Duke Energy is a partner. Mission Hospitals, which is one of the biggest employers in the area, is a potential partner. There are a lot of moving parts here. And that that amount of powerful entities being involved has raised concerns from some residents about who's going to benefit from this change.
All right, David, we will stay informed. Thank you for bringing us up to date. David Forbes, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Reporter David Forbes has been writing about the evictions and the housing authority for the city of Asheville for the Carolina Public Press and the Asheville Blade. Just ahead, we're going to look at a book for young readers that deals with segregation in the 1930s in North Carolina. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.